And what about other JAK inhibitors, for example, fedratinib?
Yeah. So the two other drugs kind of moving along in the world of JAK inhibitors, one is fedratinib, the other one's pacritinib. So fedratinib, of course, was on an FDA hold for this Wernicke's encephalopathy story. At the American Society of Hematology, there was a poster that was kind of this expose of the Wernicke's cases in the fedratinib studies.
Could you kind of backtrack on what happened there? It was really amazing.
So fedratinib was being developed both in the frontline setting, so versus head-to-head versus ruxolitinib, as well as in the second-line setting, so patients who had previously been treated with ruxolitinib. And the JAKARTA and the JAKARTA-2 studies were looking at that and really showed pretty phenomenal responses, and some would argue even better than ruxolitinib responses in these folks with myelofibrosis. But there was this signal of Wernicke's encephalopathy over the number of patients treated, not just on the JAKARTA studies, but even the pre-existing phase 2 and phase 1 studies. They kind of pooled all that data and saw, I believe, 8 cases of Wernicke's encephalopathy. And so there was a thought that perhaps somehow this was lowering thiamine levels and leading to these cases of Wernicke's encephalopathy. So they really did a deep dig on these cases, and they got the imaging, they got old samples and checked them for thiamine levels. They really did a very Sherlockian Holmes type of deep analysis on these folks. And really, it turns out that one case was confirmed Wernicke's encephalopathy. But the issue with that particular patient, the patient hadn't eaten in months. They were very debilitated. They were in ICU and they didn't get tube feeds and all these other kind of things that could have led to the nutritional deficiency that ultimately led to the Wernicke's encephalopathy.